Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. So we're discussing all kinds of things. How are you rating the sixth administration? 086-000-0959. Send us those voice notes as well. 063-688-0959. How did this government do in the past 5 years? Your percentages, whether you are marking them by your experience as somebody who has experienced water shortages, maybe you're not experiencing that. Maybe you've had a good 5 years. Tell us. Maybe your circumstances have been much, much better thanks to this government. Let us know. So we've looked at crime, we've looked at water, we've looked at electricity and energy, we've looked at unemployment, and we are now going to be having a conversation around gender-based violence. Now, this is one of those, unfortunately, this country knows all too well what they experienced of a woman signing into law the National Council on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Bill and the National Prosecuting Authority Amendment Bill as well at the union buildings. And the question is, how are these going to make a difference? So on the line with us is Bongi Lindashe, who's a GBV activist. Thank you very much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome. All right. I think that Spongile is actually on the line, but is muted. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Spongile to unmute, please. Spongile, good evening.
I have.
Okay. Can good evening and welcome.
Yes.
Yes, okay. We can hear you.
Thank you very much for having me. Good evening to you.
Good evening. So let's talk a little bit before we go into these details. Let's talk a little bit about the work that you do. Initiative for Strategic Litigation Africa. Very, very key to the issues that affect us women, affect the vulnerable, and how we are protected or need to be protected by the law.
Okay, so at ISLA, we work across the continent.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we do is to develop feminist lawyers, and so that we can go to court and hold states accountable. Mm. When they fail to protect our rights. So we work on issues of gender and sexuality.
Yeah.
So violence against women or gender-based violence is one of our focus areas. Mm. So that's what ISLA does, you know, in a nutshell, really trying to find a way to say that these are your constitutional obligations, mm-hmm, or obligations that you have assumed in terms of the treaties that you have signed, international law. And we now need to hold you accountable, because are you doing what you're supposed to do, or are you not doing what you are supposed to do? So that's our work.
So is this country doing what it's supposed to be doing legally?
So the question that you asked before, I think it's in a nutshell, where are we now, you know, in this administration?
Mm.
This feels sick, I guess, in many ways, because we are almost where we were when we started, you know, this current cycle. So if you remember, in around 2018, we had the, mm-hmm, total shutdown movement. Mm-hmm. And immediately the president responded,
yes,
you know, and told us that fine, we are going to have a presidential summit. We are going to develop this committee. There was a council, interinstitutional committee, and we are going to come up with a national strategic plan, right? And these were in the 24 demands that were handed over to the president in 2018. So when we start, you know, in 2023, he had convened the first presidential summit. And so it's, we now have a government that is saying, let us respond.
Mm.
When the previous kind of administration kind of started in 2019, so that's where we are. That's how we are starting.
Yeah.
Of course, the entire world was affected by COVID. Mm. And so there was a lot of goodwill and generosity, I think, that came from civil society and other people that worked to respond,
mm-hmm,
to say the launch of the National Strategic Plan in April of 2020 was overshadowed by the response, all what that was going on.
Mm.
When we were emerged out of this, we allowed the president to convene us again and say, let us fast track this. Mm. And there was the second presidential, mm, summit.
Mm-hmm.
When we were going to the summit, we said, we see this we understand this, but there are a lot of things that need to happen. I would remember that Parliament was convened, you know, when Uyinene was murdered. Mm. This is a government that was telling us that it wants to respond. Mm. And we were happy about the National Strategic Plan and how there was general consensus that these are the six pillars that we needed to foreground our response when people we are to make a dent on gender-based violence in South Africa. The thing that was signed last week is a travesty. Hmm. What happened is that we had a theme going there that government wanted to accelerate the response, mm-hmm. you know, wanted to amplify and also wanted to do accountability. So this is where we are. It's a 10-year strategic plan, 2.5 years. There's a lot of time that we have lost. So how do we accelerate it? When we convened, we were very clear that these were the things that has made us stuck, right? That we didn't have an interministerial committee that was really convening because we wanted people not to be moved from pillar to post. The 24 demands, we had said that we needed a response that was coming from the highest level of government so that they don't send people who do not have answers to the questions. So whenever there is a decision to be made, send people who can make the decision. And that's what we were talking about when we were talking about accountability. Mm-hmm. The presidency, the National Strategic Plan, is basically the champion. So what has happened is all the recommendations that actually came out of the presidential summit, nothing came out of it. About a few weeks ago, the report of the summit was not even launched, was never launched. We spent millions of rands and we went to Sandton to fast track. We had commissions, we had committee, there were ministers. Lots of people were there in Sandton. A report that had a 6-month fast track, that had a 2-year fast track, in November of 2024, it's going to be 2 years of this. So that's when we will be rounding off the 2 years. None of that had seen the light of day, right? A report where people have been called to say, let us meet and come up with solution to gender-based violence, right? Was never launched by the presidency. A report of a presidential summit. It's just coming now. People saying, I've got a copy, I've got a copy. And then the national, this thing, right now we don't even know what to say because it's, are we not being taken seriously or what? So the president has been on a signing spree. When we went there, we said there were lots of things that were missing in this bill. So this thing cannot pass. It needs to be recalled. And the key things was we had said we needed to have a fund.
Yes.
A fund that tells us how we are going to respond to this. We know that there is a trust deficit between the corporate sector, between development partners. Let us develop a fund that tells us who contribute, how the funds are managed, so that we build that trust and we say who are the people making decisions. That's not what has been signed into law. There is no fund that has been created. The section that deals with financing tells us money is going to come.
But we don't know how.
We don't know how and how it is going to be. The thing that we said was very key to this legislation is not there. We'd also said at the summit, we need to coordinate the response. So this is a national council on gender-based violence.
Yes.
But we needed to be able to see how provinces are dealing with this, how municipalities are dealing with this, so that there is a coordinated response. You don't have something that's just sitting there as an ivory tower by itself. This has not been addressed on this theme that has been passed, you know, into law, right? We had said the coordination, which in the 24 demands was the one that we are tired of a fragmented response to gender-based violence, needs to be set out in this legislation as it is set out in the National Strategic Plan. We were not asking for anything extra. It's things that we had agreed to on the plan, and we say, let's just legislate for this, so that someone can be held accountable if these things do not happen the way that they happen. This bill was launched a day before the presidential summit. After all the consultations, after everything that we have done, they have gone And this is what they've gone and put into law.
Sure.
So are we being taken seriously?
Very sobering, because what you are saying is we have a bill, but in actual fact, when you look at the details and you look at the content of this bill, many fundamental things are missing, including the fact that we do not have a report from the very, very important summits that outlined what needed to be done. Let me take a quick call, Spongile, because Xolile is on the line who wants to comment on what you've just said. Xolile, good evening and welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
Hi, ladies. For me, technically, I just wanted to ask the lady, it's easy to just point fingers and say gender-based violence, and the only thing that is highlighted is a woman or ladies, or what about men? Because already we have this LGBTQ, what plus minus. There's going to be square root of something in the near future. But for me,
don't be offensive, Xolile. Don't be offensive.
Okay, I'm not being offensive.
No, the square root is not necessary. You can make your point, but don't be offensive.
Okay. Let me not be offensive.
Good. Okay, go ahead.
I just want to say, heard you doing summits for, gender-based violence, and you spend $2 million in sentencing. We have the normal people in the street. It doesn't matter if they live in a shack or live in a house, boy or girl. If you only focus on women, where does it leave the boy child, the man child? You, at some point, you guys, years ago, did take your woman child to work. Currently, only women, mainly women, are going to work, are working.
Xolile.
Guys, we are being neglected.
Xolile. I think we've lost Sibongile, but here's the question I have for you. You do know that there are organizations that are specifically put together to assist men and boy children. You know that, right?
Yes, but
wait a minute.
All in one is gender. It's called gender.
Hang on.
You didn't say woman or man.
Hang on, Xolile. Let's work together. You hear me? I hear you. I'm asking, are you aware that there are organizations that specifically are put together to assist boy children and men? Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Can I ask sincerely? I'm saying, mm-hmm. we're not arguing. I'm saying, mm-hmm. the truth is, men are, we're raised in a certain way to be dominant and whatnot. And I'm not going to defend any man or who's not, or who's doing what and who's not doing what. The truth is, if you're going to say gender-based violence, there's a fine line between men and women. When you're saying gender-based violence, it must not be gender-based violence. It must just be woman-based violence, because if you're looking through the microscope, we are at the end where we're opening the eye, and then you guys see the moon, which it's highlighting you more than the men. Which is not fair. As in most men,
hi, can you share me?
Typically, South Africans, actually men in general, all around the world, who wants to say their woman abuses them?
So what's your
what's
your solution, Xolile?
No, my solution is treat us equally. Girls want to be treated equally, as much as there's LGBTQ where guys want to be girls. I don't have nothing against it, but we must all be. It must be. If you say gender-based violence, it shouldn't matter if it's a maid or woman. It must be. If I go to the police station and say, "Look, I just got back from work, and my wife says, you're useless. You made no money."
Mm-hmm.
don't you think that can trigger me where I have more testosterone to lay a hand on her, because she's been sitting in the house doing nothing, waiting for me. Vice versa, when you have the ones, the woman that have money, and like how would I say, it's like you're a pigeon in their loft. Woman, one that certain guy, and Yamfuya, and he does his laundry and whatnot. You get me?
I do hear you. I don't get you, but so, I do hear you. So let's...
Bakfuya.
Okay,
like,
Kolile,
you don't like have, as a guy, Kolile, woman is buying you clothes, Kolile, whatnot, and...
Kolile, I don't have to agree with you. I can hear you.
Okay.
But I do hear you. I do hear you. Thanks for your...
So, call. If you're going to say gender-based violence...
Okay, Kolile.
Let it be equal, not... Baba.
Six
it's gender. Gender. If you're saying there's gender,
LGBTQ. We have heard you. We have heard you. Let's give other people a chance. Kolile in Protea. Selby. Dr. Selby, how are you?
I'm blessed beyond measure. How are you?
It's always nice hearing from you, Dr. Selby.
Yes. You know, Pamelo, you call it well when you say it's a pandemic. Now, if we've got a pandemic, we need to protect it before it struck. Now, we wait for people to abuse first, then we take them for counseling, we try to help them. Why don't we help men before they abuse someone? Why don't we make it a law to push men to get help that will remove this pandemic in them? Because truly, I do feel that we are a sick nation. We need help.
Thanks for staying with us. Sibongile is back on the line with us. Sibongile, I know you couldn't hear Kolile, unfortunately, but I think you said you could hear Ntate Selby. Go ahead with your response.
Okay. From your response, I could hear a bit what you were responding to. I think one of the things that... society needs to understand is that when we are talking about gender-based violence, it is actually a distraction to the point of being violent to keep on saying, why don't you talk about this thing that we are calling what about is, we are talking about violence which is gendered, and it does not mean that other forms of violence are not taking place. We are talking about this violence because we are saying it disproportionately affects women, you know, more than men. When we're talking about rape, you know, when we're talking about domestic violence, most of the people that are affected, we know. But the National Strategic Plan and our law, they protect everyone. But if there is a problem that is bigger than other problems, then it is understandable why you would pay attention to it, because you want to solve it. And so we call it gender-based violence because we are saying that it happens because of the gender, whether it's about gender stereotypes, whether it's about myths that exist in society, what people believe about women's role that normally causes these forms of violence. And then that takes us to what Ntate Selby was saying. It is important to understand that National Strategic Plan recognized that prevention of violence is one of the things that we needed to pay attention to. So there's an entire pillar that is dedicated, because it tells us that this violence is experienced from cradle to grave. And so throughout our life, we have to invest in understanding it. That's why the Department of Education is working to develop a curriculum on prevention. Because we know that when people don't understand the causes and consequences of this violence that is all over, we cannot now just worry about the manifestations that it's the police. This is violence that happens in our society, in our home, you know, in our schools. And that's why everyone has a role to prevent it. And in the workplace, we have got laws that are trying to do this thing. But how society continues to condone this? So basically, the intervention from Kolile is the way in which violence of this nature is normalized to the point of being legitimized. by simply saying it is wrong to pay attention, you know, to a problem that we are experiencing. So one of the things that we would need to do, because we can't always wait for the police, and I agree with that, is to think about our individual and collective role on what it is that we are doing to prevent, you know, violence. How are we talking to young women, to young men, and to older people? What is it that we say we understand why someone was beaten up, or when we are slut shaming or victim blaming, you know, victims of all forms of violence? And more importantly, in preventing, we would need to really understand the psychology of this violence so that people don't think that they are helping when they are going around saying, why doesn't she leave? Because it's important to understand why victims of domestic violence, for example, do not leave, or that what happens to women sometimes when they try to leave these relationships. So I am agreeing that the duty to prevent violence is one of the things that is going to help us turn, you know, the page on this. But what is important is to understand that prevention is not what the police do. You know, they have a duty to prevent violence, but most of the time they respond after the fact. We are the ones in our homes that are going to have to do a lot of this work in preventing violence.
So what's your score?
What are we doing? Are we doing 5? Are we doing 10?
Give us a percentage.
Okay. So my score is based on this. There has been a lot of visibility. So there we can say that the presidency and all of them, they have talked about it, I think, in the political agenda over the past cycle, the past government. This is one of the things that we have seen, that there was visibility. And I think this is what makes patriots so upset, that we are talking about it. We have got the space and we have been able to do that. But the lack of political will, the lack of collaboration between different government departments, for example, the presidency and the Department of Women on how we are going to take this battle forward, that's what crippled, you know, the response. So visibility on its own will not mean anything if you do not have a political will and you have got people who want to hold themselves and each other accountable. And on that basis, kind of having wasted our time with summits that did not produce anything, just rushing before election week and signing, you know, of this useless bill, I'm going to give us a 2.5 for visibility.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate your time. This is GBV activist Bongi Lendashe. And in a short while, we are discussing health.
And if you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.